So the hadith is actually narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, who is Ummul Mu'mineen. She's the mother of the believers. Annaha qalat. It's been narrated that she stated, أَوَّلُ مَا بُذِيَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الْوَحِي الرُّؤْيَا الصَّالِحَ فِي النَّوْمِ. The very beginnings of wahi for the Prophet ﷺ were true dreams which occurred during sleep. So here Aisha radiallahu anha is detailing for us the interaction that the Prophet ﷺ had with wahi and how it began. So she says that the very first thing, the very first piece of wahi that the Prophet ﷺ tasted was الرؤيا الصالحة في النوم, were true dreams in his sleep. So what would occur is that the Prophet ﷺ would see an event while he was sleeping, and the next day he would wake up and the exact event would occur before his eyes. الرؤيا الصالحة means that there's no muddle in the dream. It's not confused. The dreams are as clear as day. And the next day, the Prophet ﷺ would remember the dream. He would be able to recall the dream. And then he would see the dream express itself in the reality of the world. So first, the Prophet ﷺ actually had these dreams. And if you look in explications of this hadith, you find that all of his wahi began with these, or his wahi began with these dreams. And then, after that, the Prophet ﷺ began to have day visions. He would begin to see things during the day, which were actually true. Then, the Prophet ﷺ began to hear voices. And the final stage, right before he received the revelation of the Holy Quran, the Prophet ﷺ would begin to hear rocks speaking to him. And they would actually give him salam. They would greet him. So these were the stages of interaction with wahi that the Prophet ﷺ experienced before he actually received that first wahi of the Holy Quran. So she says, أَوَّلُ مَا بُذِيَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الْوَحِي الرُّؤْيَا الصَّالِحَ فِي النَّوْمِ. The very beginning of wahi was true dreams during sleep. فَكَانَ لَا يُرَى رُؤْيَا, and it was such that he did not see a dream, إِلَّا جَاءَتْ مِثْلَ فَلَكِ الصُّبْحِ, except that it came like the dawn of the day. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ would see a dream and the next day it would be as clear as light, the dream would be, as well as its manifestation. ثُمَّ هُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَى. As a result of the interaction of the Prophet ﷺ with these various types of wahi, the next thing that occurred in the life of the Prophet ﷺ was ثُمَّ هُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَى. Then khala became beloved to him. Khala means to seek solitude. The Prophet ﷺ was then bestowed a love of solitude. Now look at the wording of the hadith. ثُمَّ حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَى. حُبِّبَ is a passive form. It means that, if you literally translate it, it means that solitude was made beloved to him. He didn't go out and choose solitude, but as a natural reaction to this state, solitude was made beloved to him. Made by who? Made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Allah then placed a love for solitude in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's very, very important to understand, that solitude was the second result of the Prophet ﷺ's interaction with wahi, or the direct result. Now in this day and age, imagine if these things began to happen to us. Imagine if we began to see true dreams. Or if we began to see day visions and they were true. Or if rocks began to say salam. Instead of seeking khala, most of us then would go out and start to do dawah. We would start calling people and we would start thinking we've become something, and then we would go and assume a responsibility upon ourselves. And that's our natural instinct. But what we're being taught here is that change occurs in sequence, and part of it is to seek solitude. And so this is what the Prophet ﷺ was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spend a certain degree of time or a certain length of time in solitude. So how would he do it? وَكَانَ يَخْلُو بِغَارِ حِرَى. And he used to seek his solitude in the cave of Hira. The cave of Hira is a mountain, is a cave in a mountain in Mecca. So the Prophet ﷺ would go to this cave and he would seek solitude there. فَيَتَحَنَّهُ فِيهِ. And so he would worship in this cave. The word that's being used in the particular narration is فَيَتَحَنَّهُ فِيهِ. تَحَنَّثَ يَتَحَنَّثُ means to follow the deen Hanif, Hanifa, the true deen, the original deen. And the narrator then explains and puts in his own commentary here in a few words, and he says, وَهُوَ التَّعَبُّد. Following the deen Hanif is وَهُوَ التَّعَبُّد, meaning the Prophet ﷺ would worship in the cave. And then how long would he worship for? How would he do so? Al-layali zawatil adad. The Prophet ﷺ would go to the cave and worship in the cave, and he would do so for numerous days on end. He would sit in this cave for numerous days on end. Qabla an yanzi'a, before he would descend ila ahlihi, to his family. Wa yatazawwadu lidhalik, and then he would prepare his provisions for a similar retreat. ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ إِلَى الْخَتِيجَةِ, and then he would return to Khadija. فَيَتَزَوَّدُ لِمِثْلِهَا, and then he would again prepare his provisions for a period similar to the period before it. حَتَّى جَاءَهُ الْحَقِّ, until the truth came to the Prophet ﷺ. وَهُوَ فِي غَارِ هِرَى, and it happened to come at the moment that he was in the cave of Hira. Now, this hadith is, or this part of the hadith is extremely important for us to understand in the development of the Prophet's wahi as well as in our personal development. So note that the Prophet, after he begins to have these interactions with the unseen world, then develops a deep love for solitude. And he expresses this deep love for solitude by spending days on end worshipping in the cave. So the first question is, what did the Prophet ﷺ worship, or how did he worship? And there's many discussions among the ulama as to what the Prophet ﷺ was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but how he was worshipping. And many of the ulama state that the Prophet ﷺ was actually sitting in reflection, or a type of muraqabah, where he would sit and think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation around him. Now, the Prophet ﷺ kept on spending time in solitude for extended days on end until, according to the hadith, حَتَّى جَاءَهُ الْحَقِّ, until truth came to him. وَهُوَ فِي غَارِ حِرَى, and he was in the cave of Hira. So this also highlights an important aspect of the truth, and that is the Prophet ﷺ descend, or the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended the truth upon the Prophet ﷺ in the exact same place where he did his ibadah, where he was actually doing his ta'abbud, where he was doing his worship. And so this is the very introductory point to how change occurs. It occurred in the place of worship. And so if we, in our lives, expect to achieve change, it too will occur in places of worship. And that's why the attachment with the masjid is so important in the life of a Muslim. That's our essence of worship. That's the place where the majority of worship occurs on the planet Earth. It's the mosques of various cities throughout the world. And so if we hope to achieve some degree of change, and obviously that will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should seek it by visiting the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and visiting places of worship, and establishing places of worship. And that's why it comes in hadith that we should even have places of worship within our own home. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, don't make your homes graveyards. Don't make your home a graveyard. And it was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray all of his sunan in his house. He wouldn't pray his sunan in the masjid. He would do so in his house. And that was because wherever you worship, that's where you draw in the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did a tremendous degree of worship in this particular cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges that worship by then bringing him the truth in the same place, in that cave. So what happened? How did the truth come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Well, the narration continues. فَجَاءَهُ الْمَلَمْ So an angel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَقَالْ اِقْرَى And he said, recite, read. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded by saying, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِي I am not a reciter. Now, if you stop here, the question arises, how did the angel come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In what form? And if you look through the explication of a hadith, you'll see that the angel Jibra'il throughout the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in various forms. For example, we know that often the Prophet sallallahu the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam would come as in a human form. In fact, most often he would come as the companion Dihya. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the angel Jibreel would often come in his form, in his shape, in his physical shape. And other times, the angel Jibreel alaihi salam would come as an unknown human being. For example, the famous hadith in which the traveler comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with no signs of travel. He sits before the angel, or he sits before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and asks, "What is Islam? What is Iman? What is Ihsan?" And then he walks away. And later on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains to the Sahaba that that was the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam, and he came to teach the Deen. So in that particular hadith, the angel Jibra'il came in a human form that no one recognized. In this particular occurrence, there's debate among the ulama. Some ulama say that the angel Jibra'il came in his asl form, meaning in his true angelic form. We don't know for certain in this particular narration how he came, but we do know that there were only, according to some interpretations, there were only two times in which the angel Jibra'il came in his original form to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the angel Jibra'il alaihi salam to reveal himself in his true form. So he actually asked the angel alaihi salam, "Can you show me your true form?" And the angel then expanded himself into the true angelic form, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam witnessed it. The second time was in the Mi'raj, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ascended from this world to the heavens. On that particular occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the angel Jibra'il in his true form. So these are the two times that are certain from hadith. And whether the Prophet ﷺ saw the angel Jibra'il in his true form on this particular occasion is debated among the ulama. Regardless, however the Prophet ﷺ saw the angel Jibra'il, it was something unique to him, because he had not ever interacted with the angel Jibra'il before this particular point. قَالَ مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ So the angel Jibra'il ﷺ comes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, اِقْرَأ, recite. Read. And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ma ana biqari," I am not a reciter. I don't have the knowledge of recitation. قال فأخذني. So the Prophet ﷺ says that the angel Jibreel then grabbed me. فغطني, and he squeezed me. حتى بلغ من الجهد, up until the point where he squeezed every last bit of energy out of me. ثم أرسلني, then he released me. فقال, and he said, اقرأ, and he said to me, read. Now imagine the interaction that's occurring at this particular moment. The Prophet ﷺ is being squeezed by an angel. The angels have an immense power, much more than any human being. And the Prophet ﷺ is not being squeezed, but he's being squeezed until the last bit of life is within him. And then he's being released by this angel and he's being commanded again, اقرأ, read. قلت ما أنا بقاري. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, I am not a reciter. So what happens? فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَطَّنِي الثَّانِيَةِ. So the angel Jibreel grabs the Prophet ﷺ and squeezes him with such enormous force a second time, up until the last bits of life are within the Prophet, are remaining within the Prophet ﷺ, and he releases the Prophet ﷺ and he says, ثُمَّ قال اقرأ, recite. And so the Prophet ﷺ again, he says, فَقُلْتُ مَا أَنَا بِقَالِي. So I said, I am not a reciter. فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَطَّنِي الثَّالِثَ ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَنِي فَقَالِ اقْرَأ. اقْرَأ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ أَلَقْ, اقْرَأ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمْ. So the angel grabs the Prophet ﷺ a third time, squeezes him until the last bits of life remain, releases him, and then says, recite, recite in the name of your Lord who created man from a clot. Recite, and your Lord is Akram. So the first revelation was then bestowed upon the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, if you look at this interaction between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, it's truly amazing. Because what is occurring in these few moments is that the Prophet ﷺ is being shifted from the life of this world or the mindset of this world to the mindset of another world. That's essentially what's occurring. See, here the Prophet ﷺ is a human being and he's interacting with the world on a regular basis. But the angel Jibreel comes and squeezes the world out of him. Squeezes this life, this worldly life, out of him so that he can get in the mentality of interacting with an unseen world. And this is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ is doing in this hadith. Now what happens? The angel Jibreel comes to him and says, اقرأ, recite. The Prophet's first idea in his mind is that, I don't know how to recite. See, he's still within the world of reason, cause and effect. I can't recite because I have never been taught how to recite. The Prophet is in this world of cause and effect. He's reflecting upon the world in that way. But actually, if you look at the world from the perspective of the Creator, there is no cause and effect. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to recite, you will recite. It doesn't matter if you know how to read or not. There are no prerequisites when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what's occurring, this unique interaction that's occurring between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mindset is being taken from Darul Asbab, from the mindset of cause and effect, to Darul Musabbibul Asbab. From the mindset to the mindset of the person who creates cause and effect, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is a very, very unique interaction that occurs. Now, and this is not the only place that this occurs. And this hadith is one But let's take another example. And I was mentioning this to one of the brothers last night. Is look in the Holy Quran in this, the story of Zakaria alayhi salam and Maryam. What happens in that, in one of the instances of narrated by the Holy Quran, is that Zakaria alayhi salam, he walks into a room in which Maryam alayhi salam is eating fruits that are out of season. So Maryam alayhi salam is sitting in a room and she's eating fruits that don't belong in that particular season. It's very hard for us to understand this in this day and age because we don't have seasons. We just walk into the grocery store and fruits from all over the world are before us. And so we don't have a season for mangoes. We just take mangoes whenever we want from the grocery store because they're grown in various places around the world and then brought here. But there are seasons for fruits. There's a mango season. There's a watermelon season. There's certain seasons in which a fruit grows to its maximum potential in a particular locality. And so Maryam alayhi salam was sitting and eating fruits that were out of season. The other thing to keep in mind is they didn't have refrigeration and ways of preservation at that time. So for her to be eating these fruits out of season is a very unique occurrence. So Zakaria alayhi salam walks into the room and he says, and he looks at those fruits, and in fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates this, وَكُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّا وَجَدَ إِنَّهَا رُزْقًا. And every time Zakaria would enter upon her, he would find this risk. And he asked her, أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا. How do you have this risk? And she says, هُوَ مِنْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ. This is just from Allah. What do you mean, how do I have this risk? It totally makes sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to me. So look at this interaction that's occurring. It's very, very unique. See, Zakaria alayhi salam is thinking in the thought of this world. He's thinking you need the season in order to have the fruit. He's thinking in cause and effect. But here she is sitting and worshipping for extended periods of time, and she used to sit in this room and worship for days on end, and she's thinking, what's the big deal? I don't need the season because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending it to me directly. I don't need to have a cause and effect. Allah gave it to me, that's it. When she says that, and he begins to pick up on what's going on, then he also says, wait a minute. His mind also gets pushed out of the world of reason and into the world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. And he starts thinking, well, I need to have a child. And I'm beyond the age of having children. My wife is beyond the age of having children. But at that moment, in the Quran relates it, at that moment, he goes into the mihrab and he makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his dua at that point. So he begins to realize that if Maryam alayhi salam can have fruits outside of a season, then in the same way, I can have children outside of my season of having children. And so she's in another world at that point. She's caught up in her creator. She doesn't think about cause and effect. And he walks in with this cause and effect attitude. In the same way, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this moment is right on the edge. He's done a certain degree of worship. He's caught on the edge between the world of cause and effect and the world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, kun fayakun. Then the angel comes and the angel is basically squeezing out of him this cause and effect attitude. And so he keeps saying, ma ana miqati, he grabs him again and squeezes him. He says, ma ana miqati, he grabs him again and squeezes him. And now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in this understanding, or has been boosted into this new type of world. And so, the angel Jibra'il then descends the revelation upon him and says, اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ أَلَقْ اِقْرَأْ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمْ. So in this moment, in these few short moments, the Prophet ﷺ makes a tremendous spiritual journey. Tremendous spiritual journey.